590 WKZO. And we continue on. It's hour number two of the Jeremy Lawrence Show. And, of course, it is 80 degrees. It's not too terribly nice outside, so we won't dwell on that. But we're here, hour number two. You know, one of the things that I always like to do is, particularly given that it's campaign season and, you know, you've got to know the different candidates that are running for office. And we've had quite a few of them in here today. Well, we've got another one today, and that is Mike Perrin. He is a Republican candidate, 60th District of the Michigan House of Representatives. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeremy. You're welcome.
Welcome to my own program. That's okay. No one else welcomes me, so that's fine. So so you're running for the seat. Second time that you've run for the seat, actually.
Yes.
You ran the last time around.
Yep.
I guess the big question anybody has, you know, when they think about somebody that wants to run for office, what is your driving force? What's the reason behind deciding to throw your hat in the ring?
Well, you know, I'm very involved with the education side of things in Michigan. My wife is a special education teacher here in Kalamazoo. And, you know, that I have children. I have two children. And, you know, education is very important. It helps Michigan grow. You know, if we pump out educated people out there, then we're going to get good workers and good community people.
So, and you've been in the community and in the area for quite a while then?
Yeah, I bought my house back in 2000 here in Kalamazoo. I went to Western Michigan University. I got my undergraduate degree from there, and I got my master's degree from Western also. And, you know, some of the main, you know, points at why people ask why I'm running, you know, obviously, like I said, education, you know, job growth. I'm very big into lowering taxes. I think we're taxed enough. You know, those are just some of the main top reasons that I chose to run again.
Okay. All right. One of the things that, and, you know, we've seen it in this particular session of the legislature where they've talked about roads and, you know, the condition of the roads. I have to admit, driving around, some roads are all right. Some roads, well, I guess looking at them, I mean, there is no simple solution. But how do you think is the best way to get started on the problem?
Well, obviously, to get started, you know, there are small steps that need to be taken. And, you know, I'm a very honest guy. I mean, if I don't have a solid answer, I don't have a solid answer. And like many, you know, like many other people that are there currently right now trying to figure this out, well, they're not sure exactly what they want to do. I mean, we want to keep taxes low for everybody out there. Most people think their taxes are too high right now. But we also understand that the importance of fixing the infrastructure is going to help drive new businesses to come into the state of Michigan and to grow our local economy. So in that regard, I mean, obviously, we need to look for places to pull funding and we need to make it a top priority. But exactly how and when and how much, I don't have that answer for you.
Okay. Now, you know, no doubt you watched with the rest of us with what the House had put together. They put together a package that looked like it was $500 million that they were putting together just from a little over here and a little over there. And there were no new taxes in the plan. Do you feel like that was at least a good start?
Oh, yeah. Yes, most definitely. You know, right now, I mean, we are growing. Michigan is growing. Right to Work has helped Michigan grow. Eliminating the small business tax that voters just voted on, that is the first step, and that is definitely helping. But as of right now, doing what they're doing, great. You know, pull from other areas where we can take the resources from, get it started, and fix our roads.
Okay. We're talking with Mike Perrin. He's the Republican that is running for the 60th District, Michigan House of Representatives. And one thing, we've had your opponent here on these airwaves as well, and he talked an awful lot about education, which is a real passion for him. Sounds like you're passionate about it as well.
You know, I am. And with my wife being a teacher, you know, you hear every day about things that are going on in the school system. And then, of course, a lot of her friends are school teachers, you know, they kind of, you know, you hang out with your coworkers. And, you know, what we have in Michigan right now is a thing called Common Core. And if you don't know about Common Core, I suggest everybody that's listening, please go research it online. You know, one of the main differences between me and John is I have children, and my children are right now in this school system. Mm-hmm. Now, Common Core is a federal government program, and what it does, I'll just give you a couple ideas of what Common Core is about. It basically focuses on math and reading. It's sort of a one-size-fits-all educational learning system.
Mm-hmm.
What teachers don't like about it, it takes away from their creativity. You know, developmentally, people suffer because of the way the system is. It's a government-based learning system.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, like I was helping my daughter with her homework this morning. You know, I had to learn six different ways to do one math problem. Well, I mean, is that necessarily bad? Well, if you spend all your time learning six different ways to do mm-hmm. one math problem, you're not learning other things. So, but I do, I encourage everybody to kind of research Common Core. And just for, you know, one thing that's going on is there are states that have accepted it and now are trying to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan is a Common Core state. Indiana accepted it. They're trying to get rid of it. Georgia's accepted it. They're trying to get rid of it. Alabama accepted it, but they're trying to get rid of it. South Dakota accepted it, but they're trying to get rid of it. Now, there was four states that absolutely refused to do Common Core from the federal government standards, which were Virginia, Texas, Alaska, and Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
So at first, I think it seemed like a good idea, but now that people are into it and they're teaching it and they're feeling it out, it's not necessarily what we want.
Well, and I think from one standpoint, a lot of people on, you know, the educational side are saying, well, wait a minute, everybody would be trained to the same standards. We're all going for the same goal. On the surface, it sounds like a kind of a good idea. I guess in your mind, does that kind of come apart in the actual application of it then?
Well, there are good things about it and there are bad things. And you have to sort of weigh what's good and bad. As a parent, I want involvement with my children. I want to know what they're being taught. I want to know how they're being taught. I want to have every inch of my body in their education and learning system. You know, I get it. If you are a family that moves away and you move to another state, you know, that'll be the good thing about it. They're going to pick up right where they left off because it's the same model over here as it is over there.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the one thing that has been brought up as well is, you know, some people that say, well, you know what, it's the whole idea of, you know, big giant government control and that kind of thing. And it really does kind of take out some of the local angle on that. Does that bother you as well, or do you think that's as much of an issue?
No, yeah, for sure it bothers me. For sure it does. You know, teachers need that creativity. I mean, you and I probably have a teacher that we can name right off the top of our head like that was like, she was awesome. She mm-hmm. was so influential. And she did it probably her way, a different way. And it made us learn. It made our class learn. It made us continue on. There's teachers that made me who I am today
mm-hmm.
because of their special and unique ways. So, yeah, I mean, it's a big effect.
So it almost comes off as maybe just, for lack of a better term, mixed schools.
Yes.
To a certain degree. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Mike Perrin is who we're talking with. He is a candidate, Republican candidate, for the 60th District for the State House Representatives. Mike, what do you feel like? I mean, we've talked education, we've talked roads. What do you feel like are some of the other big things that you'd like to look at if you were elected?
Well, definitely, I'm a constitutional guy. I'm for limiting government. I want less taxes. I want less government intrusion in my life. I want the elimination of Obamacare. I want to keep Michigan a right-to-work state. You know, I think us as human beings just want to be us. We mm-hmm. we don't need Big Brother on us and, you know, telling us what to do and when to do it and how to do it. So, you know, those are some other issues that I want to keep, you know, alive in Michigan.
Okay. All right. Yeah, there have been a lot of people that have been critics. You mentioned right to work, and there's been an awful lot of people that have been critics of that. Certainly, there's a lot of proponents say it's doing pretty well. Do you feel like that there's been results in the state already? Because there's an awful lot of people that are saying too soon to tell.
Well, I mean, truthfully, I think there has. I mean, my wife, I mean, I hate to keep referring to my wife, but as a teacher, she was a union member.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she had to pay her union dues and stuff like that. And now she's out of that. She's making more money. She's, you know, it's helping us along, getting, you know, things taken care of and bills paid and, you know, mm-hmm. keeping us moving. Other people I've talked to, you know, the whole thing with right to work is you don't have to. I mean, you have the right to choose. Do I want to be a union member or do I want to, you know, be non-union? And so in some areas, I think it's, you know, helped. And in some areas, I still see that kind of push to keep people as union members and keep them, you know, on that side of it.
Well, and just to, because one of the things that union people tend to say a lot is, well, you know what? Unions have fought for an awful lot of things. I mean, do you feel like it's something against unions or I guess that's kind of the crux of where I'm going there. I mean, do you feel like it's anti-union or do you think it kind of works with unions?
You know, to be honest, I think it works with unions. And in a simple regard that people that want to be in the union stay in the union. And what I've learned, you know, our company that – or at least my company that I work for right now, we used to have union drivers. And years ago they decided – this was before Right to Work – we don't want to be union anymore because the unions have sort of lost that connection, that representation. They've, they're more of a political action committee nowadays. They kind of come in and tell you who you're going to vote for and they plaster the office with, you know, Barack Obama pictures or, you know, whoever they were going for. And, you know, when an issue would come up with somebody that was a union member, it was kind of tooth and nail. I mean, that's why they left. They weren't getting the representation. You know, 40 years ago, maybe unions did a lot more than what they do now. But, you know, that's kind of why they're losing face.
Sure. Now, earlier you'd mentioned the Affordable Care Act and wanting to get rid of that. Some Republicans are calling for repeal and replace. Some are calling for just repeal and go back to what we'd had before. Which part of that would you find yourself in?
Well, you know, if there's a new plan that's better, let's go with it. If there is something better than what it is, let's go with it. Right now, I mean, from a personal standpoint, my insurance has doubled. I mean, I've already got the bill. It's doubled. And, you know, I'm just a middle class, not even really middle class. I'm just a hardworking, average person. I don't have a lot of, you know, money. And I have children and, you know, just a simple home. I'm just your ordinary average guy. I mean, I've had jobs where I've worked in a factory building UPS trucks to selling medical equipment. So, I mean, I see everybody's perspective, but when it comes to the Affordable Health Care Act and the way that it is hurting the guys that are trying to just make ends meet, it would be great to see everybody have health insurance at no cost, but there's always a cost with it.
Sure. Do you think, you know, there is some more patient-centric, market-centric kind of way to do it then? And how would you do that?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know how we would do that. But I think that we could, you know, try to find something that works for everybody. You know, the old model wasn't a bad model. Medicaid, Medicare, you know, were in place. You know, if somebody went to the hospital, they don't get refused treatment. So we would be taken care of if something did happen. But, you know, with Obamacare and stuff where they're intruding in on your life, they can see your medical records, they know where you went, they're telling you which doctor you got to go to. And that was something about it that was never supposed to happen. You know, President Obama sat there and said, you know, you want to have your, you know, keep your doctor, you can keep him. And we've seen cases where that's not the case anymore.
Certainly. Okay. We've been talking with Mike Perrin. He is the Republican candidate for the 60th District. For the Michigan House of Representatives, of course, you're running against John Hoadley. I guess, you know, you've talked a little bit about education. He's talked about education. What do you feel like are kind of the things that set you apart from him?
You know, that really set us apart is probably our stance. And I honestly don't know how he feels about Common Core 100%. But, you know, being on his political side and me being on my political side, I know that, you know, Common Core is very near and dear to Republicans. And Republicans have kind of – they're starting to change their image on a lot of things. And, you know, when you say a word like Republican or Democrat, you know, most people when they think Republican are these big business owners, you know, cigar smoking, you know, you know, my corporation type people. And and they're not that way. They're average, everyday, hardworking, you know, class guys like you and I.
Sure.
But just from a political standpoint, you know, on education, I'm sure John wants more government involvement, where I want less government involvement.
Okay. All right. Mike Perrin is who we've been talking to. He is running for 60th District. He's the Republican running for the seat in the Michigan House of Representatives. Mike, appreciate you coming on the program today. And,
thank you, Jeremy.
And good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to continue ahead here on the program with you. Lots more to talk about. Keep it right here. 590 WKZO and the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Degrees in Kalamazoo. It is 590 WKZO. The Jeremy Lawrence Show. It's 427. And you look at your weather forecast brought to you by Bronson, named one of America's 100 best hospitals for joint replacement by Health Grades. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com/ortho. Just a reminder to you as we head through the weekend, we're going to have some Tiger baseball for you, actually. Some fun stuff coming your way. Not only, and it looks like it's a four-game series this weekend with the Tigers. Of course, tonight they get underway at 7:45 as they do battle with the Twins. Tomorrow, it's one of those day-night doubleheaders. 12:45 is when the first one gets underway. 7:45 is a later broadcast for them. And then on Sunday, they got one at 1:45 in the afternoon, so you got an awful lot of Tiger baseball coming your way this weekend. Also tonight, over on our sister station, if you're more in tune with, hey, football season's coming up, that's my number one thing, and boy, am I a big Lions fan. Well, okay, you're not alone, but there's not a lot of people that are number one Lions fans, but you never know. You might want to find out just exactly what's going on with the Lions. Who knows? This could be the year. And they're going to do battle with Jacksonville tonight. And over on 1660 The Fan, our sister station, we're going to have Detroit Lions football for you. Preseason football doing battle with the Jags. 6:30 is when the broadcast gets underway. So should be some fun times for you. That's what we got coming your way sports-wise this weekend. Some good, good stuff. If you're into football, baseball, if you're into basketball, I can't help you. It's not basketball season.
Not
yet. You know, you just have to go out and shoot some hoops. That's the best thing you can come up with. Well, coming up here in just a little bit, I want to discuss with you, and I want to get your thoughts on this as well. ISIS has made a big deal of itself lately, not only with the video that was released this week, but with some of the other things that we've seen, social media and otherwise. And I want to talk with you a little bit about this and gauge your opinion on it because, you know, there have been some, like the president has just kind of said, oh, well, you know, we do need to respond to these guys. But earlier he'd said, oh, this is junior varsity. They're not as big as Al-Qaeda. But some people are saying, yeah, they're a big deal. They're here already. What's going on? We need to do something about this. So here in a little while, we'll gauge your opinion on this. We'll get your questions on this. Do you feel like there's something we need to be worried about? Here's the numbers to call to make your opinion known. 877-382-4280 is the toll-free number. You can call us locally as well at 382-4280. 80373, if you'd like to text us and tell us what your thoughts are on that particular terrorist group. You know, I've got certain thoughts on it without a doubt. And I'll share them with you as we continue ahead right here on the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. 83 degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO, and it is the Jeremy Lawrence Show. So thankful you're taking the time to be with us today. Well, I wanted to spend a little time talking about ISIS. This is the terrorist group that has taken over parts of Syria and Iraq. And they've definitely gotten a whole lot of attention, particularly when they beheaded an American journalist. And we'd heard about that, made some comments about that just the other day with the president. And, of course, in that particular case, I think, you know what, you stand with the president, you stand with his plans to be able to go after the terrorists, if indeed he does do that. I think the big question, though, is, all right, are they really serious or are they just Bush League? You know, are they, should we be really worried about them or should we just sort of go, okay, whatever. Because I think some people have taken, there have been people on both extremes on this going, oh, no, we're protected, we're covered, we got it, we're okay. There are other people that are screaming from the mountaintop, we need to do something about this. Jim Inhofe, he's a senator from Oklahoma, has sounded off a warning saying that, you know what, they could very well attack American soil. Governor Rick Perry in Texas is saying, yeah, they might even already be here. And there's been some photo evidence of that as well. Apparently, on Twitter, there was a posting where they said, it's a message from ISIS to the U.S. We are in your state, we're in your cities, we're in your streets. You are our goals anywhere. That's what they had said. In this particular thing, they also included a picture. One side of it, they got a picture of the ISIS flag in front of the White House. In another, they've got a message that they have scrawled on a piece of paper, and they're holding it up on a picture in front of a building in Chicago. And there are some people saying, all right, that shows there's a threat in the city of Chicago. And I guess, you know, to me, it does reinforce, yeah, there are some problems here if they're getting here and they're doing that. Now, are they really doing that? That's the other question. You got to look at some of these pictures and say, all right, are they really in Chicago? Is this picture actually worth considering a real thing, or is it just a fictionalization? Because you can get pictures of American buildings anywhere online. Go look. Right now, you'll be able to find American buildings. Whatever building you want, you'll be able to find a picture of it, very likely. Now, you know, was this a situation where they photoshopped it in? Was it a situation where they took a picture of a picture? Sometimes that's obvious, sometimes it isn't. Or is it a situation where they're really here? And I think a lot of this goes with, you know, there are some justification for people saying, well, wait a minute. Yeah, we really ought to consider declaring war on this group. They've made no bones about it, at the very least overseas, in killing a journalist that they had captured. And they've made no bones about it that, you know what, if we come there, they're gonna do a number on our soldiers. Well, they'll say that. And I'm not saying that to say, hey, let's go running screaming. You know, because that's not, I don't think that's our way in America. I think there are some people that say we don't need to go to war. I mean, I saw the bumper sticker this morning driving around, war is not the answer. Okay, well, I get that, but war is sometimes the only alternative. And have we reached that point here to say war is the only alternative? You know, we've not talked about, for probably the last 6 years, the war on terror. It's all about, well, there was a war in Iraq, and there was a war in Afghanistan, we're winding them down, and in Iraq we took all our soldiers out, and you heard the president say, well, it wasn't his decision. Except that it was, but, you know, he's saying that it wasn't his decision. I guess the big question is, do you feel like they're a danger to you, to me, to us, to our way of life? And there would be people that say, well, you know, we haven't been attacked by terrorists for years. But, okay, yeah, we've put in the security that, quite frankly, when you go to the airport, is mindless almost anymore. You just, all right, you know what? You three people can go and you get over there in the body scanner. I actually had that happen to me in an airport one time. I'm traveling with my family. At the time, I've got a three-year-old, which I'm holding on to. They put the rest of my family through the regular paces. I had to go through the full body scanner. Now, I'm traveling with my family. What do you think I'm going to be doing? You know? But it's, and, you know, there's different stories. Like, you know, I've got, my mother is a grandmotherly type of woman. If you see her, you see that. She's just, you know, she has the look of everybody's grandma. They ran her through and patted her down in security when she went and got on an airplane because she had a snap on her jeans. Heaven help us all.
Oh, man.
You know, save us from all the grandmothers out there. But, you know, these are just some of the stories that are out there, and you know they're not the only stories. Now, granted, there was somebody that got onto a plane with a bomb that they thought they'd put together in their shoe. There was somebody that had a bomb in their underwear. They managed to get on there. Now, the funny thing about it is you read about these situations. You see, we're going through all this strict security. And then you see people saying, yeah, well, you know what? Illegals are getting onto flights without an ID. Okay, so why are we doing all this security? You know, why are we doing this? Because if somebody's illegal and they come across and the whole bit and they can get on a plane without an ID, what are we doing? What is it that we're doing to ourselves? And are we actually that safe? And yeah, you could say, well, you know what? Border security. Yeah, well, your border security is pretty important. And if these guys are getting into our country and they know they can do it there, they've done it already. And I think that's where we've got to be watching. We've got to be paying attention. We've got to know that that's something that we got a problem with. Now, I want to get your comments on this. Do you feel like that this group is the real deal? You feel like, you know what, this shows that we need to be a little more active in this? Or do you feel like overblown, totally overblown? Love to hear from you on this. 877-382-4280 is the toll-free number. Also, locally, it's 382-4280 if you're in the Kalamazoo area. And you can text us if you like. Do so from a safe place, of course. 80373, and that'll get your message in to us. A little bit earlier, somebody asked, well, how many people have they killed? I mean, are we going to make death toll the driving force? Well, until they've killed 4,000 people on American soil, then, well, Al-Qaeda is more deadly. Is that really what we're going to do to say this group is the real deal? Al-Qaeda, they were more about disruption and terrorism in general. It seems like ISIS is all about, you know what, we're going to take over politically country after country after country. You know, if left to their own devices, Iraq would be theirs. And then they want to take over. If you've seen the maps online, they want to take over a good portion of North Africa and Spain. That might be kind of important.
Just Spain, no other countries in between?
Well, they're taking it Spain and then all the way around.
Okay.
North Africa, kind of like the southern part of the old Roman Empire, if you will. And that's what they're aiming for. And they've got, you know, there's a map out there saying, well, this is what we want. You know, we want Egypt, we want Libya, we want, you know, Morocco, all this other stuff. We want to take over Spain. And yes, there are Muslims in Spain. But is that where they're going to stop? And if they're already saying, you know what, America, we're coming for you, shouldn't we say, no, no, we're coming for you?
Yeah, it should be. We should take care of the problem before it becomes a real problem.
Well, and I think there's a problem already. If they're willing to go out of their way, go get an American citizen and then execute him on a video that they release to the entire world that's showing absolutely no fear whatsoever. You saw a terrorist group do that back. I mean, you saw a terrorist group back in the day doing that. You know, we were going to go after somebody. I think about it. Gaddafi was the one that that helped to fund what happened with that Pan Am flight over Scotland. We went after him. We went and bombed him, and said, "Wait a minute, you are not doing that to us. That is not going to happen." And yes, we did eventually go get Bin Laden. That's disrupted Al Qaeda. There are some people saying, "Well, is this a renamed Al Qaeda?" Could be. I don't know. But I think to myself when I see this, this is a group that is far more serious than anything we've seen in the realm of terrorism. I think it's something that needs to be addressed. Love to get your angle on it. 877-382-4280. 382-4280 is the local phone number if you'd like to be a part of it. Also, 803-73. We're going to talk about this with the time that we have left right here on the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. WKZO, the Jeremy Lawrence Show. It's 5 minutes till the hour. Talking a little bit about ISIS. Do you think they're that big a deal? Big deal or whatever. Moving on. Love to get your thoughts on this. 877-382-4280. 382-4280. But the time that we have left, we head to the phones right now and chat with Roger in Kalamazoo. Hi, Roger.
Hey, Jeremy. I hate to tell all the folks this, but they're here. And the reason why I can tell you that with all confidence is because they're finding Qurans along the border coming from into Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
There's two videos, documentaries done. One's called They Come to America, and the other one's called They Come to America Too.
Mm-hmm.
They're an independent, nonpartisan documentary that talks about the illegal alien problem. But then the second video, the person that actually puts this together, he's talking with ICE agents, the federal government's part of Homeland Security,
mm-hmm.
that are finding Qurans along the border. Now, because we have an open border that's not, you know, basically it's just wide open. We don't have anybody down there doing anything
mm-hmm.
because it keeps getting circumvented our security. What happens is that these Muslims come into Central America and Mexico, assimilate into the population and then come across the border as Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. The other thing is that the FBI has already identified terrorist cells across the country. The only reason why they haven't done too much is because they haven't broken any laws yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they know that they're there. And here in Michigan, you know, we have the highest population of Muslims in the United States are here in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
You can't rule out the fact that there's going to be terrorists associated with those groups. And so all you have to do is look at it from a historical standpoint. Obviously, the World Trade Center was attacked several times before they actually took the towers down
mm-hmm.
in 2001, and the Muslims told us that they were going to do this. The second thing, and one that most people don't understand, is that from the inception of the history of the United States, we have been fighting Muslims. And most people don't know that before the United States became the United States, Muslim pirates were basically attacking shipping around the Middle East and the Mediterranean, that type of thing. And mm-hmm. because we were part of the British Empire, the Brits were actually paying a ransom. When Thomas Jefferson became president of the United States, he had a meeting or set up a meeting with Muslims
mm-hmm.
to get them to stop. Well, instead of getting them to stop, they wanted to increase their penalties for just being, you know, non-Muslim.
Sure.
And so what he did was, this is Thomas Jefferson, he sent the Marines into Tripoli.
Mm-hmm.
And that history was enshrined in the Marine Corps hymn. After the Marines went into Tripoli, we didn't have any problem with Muslims up until the 20th century. And, you know, I hear this thing about, well, if the United States would get out of the Middle East, we wouldn't have these problems. I'm sorry, no matter what we do, we're going to have problems with Muslim terrorists just because we're the infidels. According to them, we're big Satan and Israel is little Satan. So we're all going to have these problems and we're going to have to prepare for it. We're going to have to take steps to deal with this threat. The only thing that they understand is force. And my standpoint as a Marine, I'm always going to be a Marine, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of you got to go to the source. Well, the funding and the source of their power is coming out of Iran. And so that's what we have to do. I don't promote going into another war. I didn't believe in going into the second Iraq war. But, you know, there comes a point in time, in order to protect American citizens, you're going to have to be decisive, which this president has not done. In fact, the Iraqi president knew of ISIS coming in to Iraq 2 months ago.
Wow.
And we did absolutely nothing.
Roger, I'm sorry, I got to run, but I appreciate your thoughts on the issue.
Okay.
All right. It's going to do it for the program this week. You have yourself a fantastic weekend.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.